you, Father, for the sweetness of this moment, the sweetness of this morning. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You're here today. We know that. We exalt you in this place, Lord. We exalt you. Your name is above all names. Your name is greater than any name on heaven or in earth. Thank you, Jesus. Your name. We thank you for your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for breakthrough. Thank you for exaltation. Thank you, Lord, that as we minister to you, all fruitfulness flows out of that intimacy. Receive from your hand this morning. Oh, Papa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're on your path, Lord. We follow your lead. Thank you, Lord. Lord, your word says, train up a child in the way he would go, and when he was old, he will not depart. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Thank you, Lord, for your ways of the kingdom are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Thank you, Lord, that we remain your teachable little kids, no matter our size, no matter our age. Thank you, Lord, that we walk in your footsteps and we blaze a trail for those following. Thank you, Lord. This summer we had summer celebration here and it was so beautiful, so wonderful. I'm going to ask all the little children who came up and moved and danced and ran and skipped and hopped to just come up here and sit on the steps for just a minute. I'm going to ask Carl and Darlene and Cynthia and Lawrence to join Pastor Bill and I, and we're going to pray over these little ones right before we release them to Kingdom Land. Everybody come on up and get on the steps. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Riley, you too. Come on over. All the little kids, you can sit anywhere you want. Even if you weren't part of it. Yeah, come on up, Gideon. Oh, Zoe, just come with me. You're awesome. Just grab a seat anywhere. Come on. So good. Get in really close. So I'm going to give the microphone to Carl first. Mr. Maxfield. Do you know where he is? Where's Mr. Maxfield? Where's Carl? Is he the big guy in the back holding Riley? Can we all turn around and say hello? There he is. Okay, everybody up here? Got all the babies and little people, and there's more probably in the bathroom. Okay, there's coming, a few coming right now. You don't have to do anything, guys, except smile and be cool. But everybody turn and look at Carl, because he's got a message from his heart. I don't know what it is, but he's going to say something. You don't look at me. I'm not Carl. He's right there, this guy. This guy with Riley. Is there anybody else in the bathroom? You want them to hear everything he's going to say. And then Darlene. Ellie's in the bathroom? Okay. All right. Carl, where do you want to be to give this little short, whatever it is from your heart? You want to stand here or do whatever you want to do? You tell me. I see we've got little Mariah here. She's all ears. Look at that. Here we go. This man, do you know that this man sees things? Not just seeing you with eyes. I can see you guys, but he also can see things that are invisible, calling seeing in the spirit. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are able to do that, but he's one. And he has said things to us that we go, whoa, that's really cool. Something that God wants us to know. So that's why I want him to say something to you, because he's going to tell you something cool. Here's Ellie. Okay. Here you go.
I just want to pray for you first. Father, I just thank you for these right here. I just pray that, Lord, your presence would just go deeper and deeper and deeper. I just thank you for simplicity of how you present yourself, that you want us to come with simplicity, and then you bring the complex to our hearts and you develop it. But you want us to come as the children, as these, and you impart the wisdom, you impart the truth, and you grow that inside us. Just thank you, Lord. Now, kids, I want you to think about, and keep your eyes closed, but just think about the toys that you have. And I think when you think about the oldest, roughest, most beat-up toy that you have, the one that's been sitting in the backyard, that's been rained on and is just going to pieces, it's missing a wheel or the paint's coming off and it's missing some parts, it's the one you just look at and like, well, I don't really care about that toy anymore. It's just kind of in the dirt and nobody want it. Can't even sell at a garage sale. It's so bad and old. Now, I want you to see that toy, see somebody picking up that toy, brushing it off, and looking at it and seeing what that toy looked like when it was brand new. Now, I want you to see that toy, all the dirt being washed off, and then the person carefully taking that toy back in and cleaning it, and taking off all those rough edges, finding the new parts, putting it back together again, painting it and making it even better than it was when it was brand new, when you first saw the toy. And I want you to know that God is doing that to your hearts, that he's taking those rough edges. And if you feel like you're in the dirt and you're sunk down and you have things that are missing, God is taking your heart and he's looking at those rough edges and saying, that's okay, I'm gonna fix those things. I'm gonna put you together again. Now I'm going to make you better than brand new, better than what you've known before, better than what other people have seen, that you can accomplish what God has for you, that you're going to be strong, that you're going to be new, you're going to be whole, and that you're going to carry that strength and to be useful, not just as a toy, but have a purpose in life. So I just wanted to speak that over each one of you, that you each have that purpose and that a strong destiny, that God is bringing the restoration to anything that has been taken from you. I speak that life over you and the joy of the Lord, of the joy that comes from knowing that you are loved by God and seen as new and perfect and whole.
So the thought that came to my mind when I saw all of you come up here is that each one of you is dressed differently. No two of you are dressed alike, are you? Does anybody have on the same clothes as anybody else? Not at all, right? And God made each one of us like that. He made each one of us different and unique. And God has special things about each one of you that he likes. So, and the God also likes to talk to us. So I want you guys in your class today just to take a minute and to ask God, what about me is different that you like? And then expect God to give you a special thought or maybe a picture about what he likes about you. Because he made each one of us unique and different and special. Just like none two of you are dressed alike, he didn't make any of you the same because he thinks that you're special and awesome.
Who's our hope? We sang a song about it today. Jesus, my hope is in the Lord, right? Who's Jesus? So I just believe that the Lord is filling your hearts with hope, with happy thoughts, good thoughts, with lots of love, and lots of power. Who remembers from summer celebration when we talked about power? Good job. Who remembers when we turned on that light bulb by just touching it? You guys remember that? Power, and the Holy Spirit is here today. He wants to fill you guys up with even more power so that you can glorify God's name, so that you can worship him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. Does that sound like something you want to do? Kingdom Kids, does that sound like something you want to do? Do you want more power from the Lord? Yes? Can I hear you say it? Yes? So can we say more, Lord, together? Ready? On the count of three, we're going to yell, we're going to declare, not yell, we're going to declare out more Lord, okay? And that's more God, more power, more of his presence in our heart. Ready? One, two, three, more Lord!
Well, Father, I thank you that you have more for each one of these guys. More of your presence, more revelation, more grace, more power, more joy, more peace, more peace, more peace, more peace overflowing for the children and their parents. That would flow in abundance, Lord. And I thank you that you are a powerful God that uses these children in amazing ways to reveal your heart. In Jesus' name, bless them today. Amen.
I wanted to share a testimony that has to do with Eliana. The Lord just highlighted it to me. So I got a phone call on Monday while I was here in the office from the school nurse saying that Eliana had been bitten on the playground by what they thought was a sweat bee. It had got stuck under her shirt and it had bit her. The nurse said about 6 to 8 times. The teacher said about 10 times. So the bee was under there, and so they took her to the nurse and they iced it. And at that point, the nurse said, you know, she's okay, she's good, she was very brave, and she cried for a little bit, but she settled down. So we sent her back to class. And we'll give you a call, you know, if anything worsens, but otherwise, you know, just so you're aware. So I get to the school, and one of her teachers was bringing her to the car and opens the door. And as I'm about to ask, how's our princess doing or our little girl doing? She said, I didn't get a word out. She said, your daughter was supernaturally healed today. I said, excuse me? I'm like, wait, where am I? She used the word supernaturally healed today. So I said, come on, what? And she goes, she was supernaturally healed today. She goes, remember? She said, I know the nurse called you about all the bug bites and the bee. And I was like, yes. She said, well, she got ice on it. She went down for rest time. And when she got up, I checked her. And she goes, there's nothing there. She absolutely nothing there. And she says, I saw it, the nurse saw it, like we saw that she was bitten up. She's like, I can't find a single thing on there. So I was like this. I was like, what? And so she said, maybe she was praying during nap time. She said, but anyhow, it was just amazing. It was just obviously beyond words of the Lord's love. And just the anointing that our children really do carry, the connection that they have with the Lord, whether we realize it or not. We can recognize it by the Spirit if we're willing and choosing and asking to see our children's connection with the Lord in the Spirit, where they are and how the Lord is using them. So, more Lord.
I'm just going to ask you to pray that out, Sin, because we're going to pray protection and safety and healing over all of our children, over ourselves. The Lord's been doing this in our midst for many years, a couple decades here, and we're having a celebration of what he's done over the last 20 years in a couple of weeks. Invite you to be part of that. But that's for our children now, and we get excited because here it is in America. Someone can run into a bush and have countless hornets sting them or hurt them and have welts all over their body and be prayed over and have them completely removed in Africa. Why not here? The Lord's saying, I'm here. I'm here in America, and I'm doing this. And as you pray and you stand for your children, for all of what he's doing, watch what I do. And I believe that the Lord is saying, not only remember, but walk in the remembrance and pull the future into now, right now, and let's step out in that. So, Sin, if you can just release that, and then we'll release the kiddos.
No, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're speaking today to us, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon each of our children, Father God, from the littlest to the oldest, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Father, for your anointing that rests upon them, Lord God, that those aren't just words that we say because we like our kids, Father, but the truth is, Lord, that you knit them together. You put them on this earth, Father, in this hour, in this season, in this moment, in this time, Lord God. So we just thank you, Lord, for that destiny and the purpose, Lord, that you have for each of them, Lord God. We thank you that the greatest is for them to love you, Lord, deeply and intimately and passionately, Lord God, and intentionally, Lord. So I just thank you, Father, that you surround each of our children, Lord God, with your arms of love, your arms of protection, Lord God, with your fiery wall, Lord. We thank you that we continue to declare, Lord, that our children are supernatural, Lord God, that they are lovers of you above all things, Holy One. And we just thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that every plan of the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy from them, Lord, is bound, is destroyed, Lord God, is dissolved in your presence, Lord. So we thank you, Father, that these are leaders, Lord God, that they are kingdom leaders, Lord, humble kingdom leaders, Father God. So we thank you, Lord, that rebellion and anxiety and every other thing, Lord, that tries to capture our children, Father. We say no. We say no to those things, Lord, and we say yes to your heart, Father. And we thank you, Father, for the wisdom as parents and as adults around them, Lord, to know how to lead them, Lord God, to love them, Lord Jesus, to encourage and support them. Thank you, Father, for having your way in our hearts and in our lives. And thank you, Lord, that ultimately these are your children, Lord God, and you are the best dad in the whole world, Father, and we trust you with our children, Lord God. We release our children to you every day, Lord, knowing that you are their Alpha and their Omega, Lord God, that you are their Savior, you are their Deliverer, Lord. You, Father, you, it's you, Lord. So we thank you, Holy One, that we position ourselves in the right place, Lord God. So we thank you, Holy One, in Jesus' name. We just thank you, Father, that they carry life, resurrection life, Lord. We thank you that they're a blessing everywhere where they go, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And for all future babies and the ones that are in our midst, now, in Jesus' name, we declare it, we decree it. We thank you for it in advance. Amen. Was this a fun morning, guys? Come on. I like it. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, I'm doing something unique today. Well, we hope that's every week. But I was very excited walking through the house going, this is crazy. What's going on? What are you doing, God? So we're going to have you little guys and girls and boys and young adults go to Kingdom Land. But here's what we're going to do. We're shifting things up. Because we want to follow what God tells us, what the Holy Spirit says. Sometimes he says, go a little longer while I'm moving. And that's what we're doing today. And that's why you've not been in your classes a little bit earlier. But we're going to shift it up a little bit today. And what we're going to do is I know you all go to the big room next to the office. And I don't know who's in there today. But whoever's in there, is that Jordan and somebody? Oh, Jordan and Rach, okay. We're going to shorten that. We're going to cut that time in half, maybe 5-10 minutes max. Greet them, give them a snack or whatever you do, and then we're going to go right to our classes, okay? And then we're going to have a little bit of a shortened time. You guys all ready to go? If you're not sure where you're going, just run out that door right there and follow the crowd. Okay, see you. Go. Bye. I like seeing them run. This is good. Well, yeah. I need a minute to get some water. Oh, Jesus, you're so good. Love it. Okay. Thank you, Lord. I've enjoyed every second of this. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Can somebody, can you help me, hon? Thank you. That'd be so good. We are happy in this house. I love it. What a great morning. Thank you, guys. So excited about what God is up to in this place. Thank you, Lord. Find these glasses someday in Jesus' name. I won't have these glasses. But right now, I thank God for them. Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for, as we transition, for your ways, for you to speak in the remainder of the time that we're together corporately this morning. We just thank you, Lord. You are so awesome. We can do nothing without you. We thank you for unpacking today what it is that you would have penetrate right to the depths of our heart, Lord, that our souls would be transformed, that our spirits would be strengthened, and that in our inner man, our mind, our wills, and our emotions would be fortified. Thank you for that. As you bring healing and transformation into the deepest places of our hearts so we can continue to carry that fire that's been released this morning. Father, we believe that you've done something continuously supernatural this morning. And hearing the testimony of Eliana, having that touch from you when there wasn't even someone from her family or elsewhere laying hands on her and speaking over her. Father, we've been contending for these types of reports, and this is not a Christian school where Eliana attends. I thank you, Lord, that our children are protected. They're under the banner of your love, and they're under the care of your right arm. Thank you, Lord, that they walk in Psalm 91, and we as your children, just a little bit older with older bodies and maybe a few more problems that we contend with. God, we just thank you that we can depend fully on you. You are the author and finisher of our faith. And we give you the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, so much exciting news to share. I wanted to play a little excerpt. Just a tiny little phone message. I can just give you my phone if I can. Andrew, can I just give this to you? And maybe you can play this for us. It's just a little response from Ina, who is in India, as she was going to give us an update about Pastor Jacob in prison. You can just come on up here, hon. I'm going to give you this, and maybe you can just plug it in. We'll hear it out loud. I just like to hear reports from Cynthia, from parents, also from those who are contending in their faith for whatever the Lord's doing. And so let me just show you where this is in my WhatsApp here. All right. Maybe you can just scroll right down here for WhatsApp, and then there we go. I think I'm going to have to find this, though. It's buried. All right, Ina, here we go. There are two messages, that one and that one. They go together. Okay, they're just very short. But Pastor Jacob, just again, very, very quickly, for those who need a little remembrance or they don't know, he is our main contact in one of the areas of India that we spend our hearts and time in and finances and such. But the Lord divinely connected us in 2009, and he has rescued countless children from the brothels, from the streets, from child soldiering, for many years, it would be about 18, 19 years now, 18, I think, because it was 15 back when he was arrested. And after that, we got connected to him. So we'd been doing it for a while, and children from all areas, all regional areas, we'll leave it at that, and I'll tell you more, depending on what happens with his release. But I believe that God took us there to be able to partner for the long haul. And we are. And he got married shortly after we started visiting there and ministering with him in 2009 to Ina, who is from Holland. So she lives in India, and she has blonde hair and blue eyes and white skin, and she married Pastor Jacob. They were not little young 20-year-olds. They were over 40 when they got married, and they had a few problems with having their children. It didn't happen right away the way that they had hoped. And then they conceived Basha. And Basha is about 2.5 or so right now, which was a very big blessing. We were right on the verge of moving the children that had been rescued into a 2,000-plus children's center in a remote place in India when there was a big, big, big setup to destroy the whole project, including him and his family. And he was falsely accused, and he was arrested. And the children who had already been rescued from hell on earth had been confiscated and taken and completely scattered again away from their rescue, put in Hindu homes and all kinds of things. Spent a tough 3.5 years. Pastor Jacob was arrested and tortured repeatedly for his faith, and he is still in jail. But we have been praying and standing and contending for a very long time, and we're believing that we're on the precipice of a breakthrough to get him to the point of being able to connect, interconnect with people who are in India who may be able to come to his assistance in ways that are necessary or seem to be necessary with the court systems. And so, very long story, because it is shortened for the sake of time. He's had some breakthroughs, and we've been celebrating them. Many apparent or seeming setbacks, like, well, that didn't happen. What do we do now? Pray, intercede, enjoy. That's what we've been trying to do, and increasing in that. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for increasing in that. And I implore you, I beseech you to make this a priority in your life right now, if it has not been, or to continue in that, if you would. I'd really appreciate that. So we've been waiting for a particular hearing that has been postponed and postponed and postponed. So one piece of very good news is that a recent hearing is bringing him back to the original point of his incarceration, of the attack on him and his family and all the kids, so that the judicial areas that will concern him in the future with the trials and all, unless God does it a supernatural way where, you know, he's God, we're not. We don't know how he did this with Eliana, right? Simple faith. But as we're preparing, saying, well, Lord, you've been telling us to take steps, we have one more hearing that's very significant, which has been repeatedly postponed over the last 2 weeks. That hearing is a place, it's going to be in a place where he had very difficult, anytime you're tortured, it's difficult, but very difficult torture. And we pray, we fast, and I get this response that it's postponed. So it's still postponed. So Andrew, if you can play those two now. This is what I got from Ina over the weekend, his wife.
I was thinking, do I have a more original way to tell that it is again postponed? But no, I don't have. Today, again, the hearing is postponed, Jacob's hearing. The judge, he quit by 2 p.m. He had to go to some occasion, and at that time it was not only by number 15, and our number was 36. So that means that it is postponed to Monday. And it's a challenge for my patients, but I also know I don't let my faith or my patient be shaken, because I receive everything what I need from him, and so I will keep on standing strong in patience, in faith, and that is sufficient, because what he received, his blessings for us, are more because what we receive from Jesus is more than I can ever think or ask for. Thank you for all your love and prayers. And like you're praying for Jacob and me and Basha and all of us, so we always uphold you all also in prayer. And that connection, that gives me such a warm feeling, and that makes me really happy. Bye-bye.
Faith and patience, how important. I listened to this several times to be encouraged again, and to be lit on fire in deeper places for intercession. And I believe the Lord wants to increase us on all fronts. Thank you, hon. You can just put it there. And he's increasing us on all fronts and wanting us to take steps to walk out the work of the kingdom, even beyond where we've been. I believe that. So tomorrow we have a hearing. We're trusting. What's going to happen? I don't know. Will it happen? I hope so. I don't know. I don't have an answer. So last night I received a call from Inez, who is our leader, our director for Frontline Brazil in Brazil. And she was telling me about our new worship center, that a building that we have purchased, where the kids that we have ministered to and the folks there minister to every week, is really, really increasing in terms of children coming, soaking before the Lord. One of our spiritual daughters, Jokabeji, went to Mozambique with us a couple of times, and she has been receiving dreams and visions from the Lord, we believe, to encourage her to remain steadfast. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Remain steadfast. My promises are true for you and what I've called you to do, even at a young age. She's just early, what is she, 20, 21? I don't even know how old she is. And Inez, who is there to increase, help her increase, who's from the older set of us, and she was speaking life into her yesterday. And she said it was really great because the Lord had been speaking to me about how this young gal is standing and called and what she can do as she continues to keep her face on Jesus, her eyes on Jesus, looking upward to remind her of the strength of her call, to remind her of who she is in Christ. And she received. And Inez was so encouraged that Joe received. I said, well, how did it go yesterday? How was it at the children's center in the prayer room? And she said, you just wouldn't believe these little tots just laying there soaking and receiving from the Lord, crying before the Lord. It's simple, like today, just simple. And the Lord is raising up these little world changers here and abroad. And we have connection with them more than just sending them support, going on a mission trip, thinking about them occasionally. No, no, no. We have an interconnection, interdependence in the Spirit. And all of that is mounting right now in intensity in the Spirit. But if we don't have eyes, spiritual eyes, and hearts awakened to see the gravity of what God would like to release in this hour over our little people, over what's going on in Brazil and beyond, then it slows things down, and the Lord is moving. We know we have an election coming up. We know that everyone's hot on discussing, should I vote? Should I not vote? Who should I vote for? What should I do? I don't like him. I don't like her. But I don't like what I'm seeing. What do I do? How do I do? And the Lord is saying, we are called to do something, not to sit back and do nothing. If we don't do something, evil will rise and do something. We have to do something. And we have to get things out of our own mind, because our ways are not God's ways. We have to listen to the heartbeat of God, ask him for the bigger picture, and we have to step out in those things. We need to fast and pray, but we also need to act. So if you're fasting and praying, praise the Lord, but we need to step out and act and just say, oh, I don't know, I just, you know, maybe 4 years from now we'll think about it again. That's foolish. I don't know who that hits right now, maybe me. But that's foolish. We need to ask God, and we really need to act. With Inez, I said, Inez, what can we do for you? Please pray. Please pray more. She wasn't saying we don't pray enough. She says, please pray more. I'm so encouraged. I'm so strengthened. She was praying for me personally, which she does a lot. She's an intercessor for me and Pastor Bill personally as well. And we for her, of course, and others in the ministries there. But personally, on a very personal basis, she knows a lot of the things that I face, Pastor Bill faces. And she had a word for me, and I was so excited. I said, okay, Lord, I can't wait to jump into that and discover exactly what you're saying. And he's been unpacking some of that. And it's just a place in the Bible to go to. It wasn't specific. He left that part up to me. She left that part up to me through the Lord and said, what is it exactly? And the Lord's just been feeding and blessing, and part of it's what's happening today in the book that I'm in right now. And so I was very excited about that. I'm stepping back and asking God, Lord, we wear many hats. We wear many, many, many hats. We want to be good mothers. We want to be good fathers. We want to be good aunts and uncles or single people. We want to be good grandparents. We want to be good friends. We want to be good soulmates to people that we're connected with in a good way through our marriages or whatever it would be. God is saying, I'm looking for you to, yes, you will wear many hats, but some of the hats that I've called you to wear, you might not like those hats. You might put that hat down as a son or a daughter and say, that hat is, it's a little sketchy. I like this hat a little bit more because I look good in it. I feel good in it. I'm breathing life through that hat. But the Lord Jesus wore many hats, if you will, in the scriptures, because he always did something. Even when he spent time with his father, he was doing something. He had to choose against other things to spend time with the father so he would actually be able to hear what the father was saying and do as he said and walk out what he was speaking. And sometimes, yeah, it is a good word. And sometimes that can feel painful. And the reason it does is because it comes against many times the resistance that we have on the inside to various hats that we need to wear. You know what I'm saying when I say wear a hat? We all understand that practical picture, right? I put on this hat. It doesn't mean that I'm not a wife if I don't put on a wife hat. I'm always a wife. But many times the hats that I'm wearing are interchanging, even as I have them on my head. I might turn over, I might hear something that I move in. Okay, well, I'm wearing the hat of being a wife, which I'd never take off. I don't take these hats off. I don't take a hat off if I see Rachel and I have something to say to her. I say, oh, well, now she's my spiritual daughter, so I have something to impart. No, she always is a spiritual daughter, and I have what I have to impart or to be or whatever God would want to do for the sake of love, and I'm just recognizing that at the moment, but I'm not resisting that. The resistance inside of us is what screams and either pushes or pulls back. It's one or the other. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't prod his disciples, but he didn't try to make it happen. But he was speaking to his disciples and saying, no, this is the right way. Your thinking is off. Let me teach you again. But most of them, many times, wanted to hear from him, so they would position themselves even through mistakes and say, now I get it. But Jesus didn't back off and hope it worked out. No, he stepped in to what the Lord was saying and doing. And that's what God's calling us to do in this hour. He's calling us to step in and broaden, expand our tent pegs. Okay? He's saying, listen, I'm speaking. Hey, guys. I'm speaking on many different fronts right now. The ones who need to change are you. Flexibility. Hi, little hopper. Flexibility is a word that is really scary. And it's in this season, I believe the Lord is saying, love the green, that's a good backpack. The flexibility that I would like to release you into more is already in you because my spirit in you is flexible. Can we all say that? My spirit, his spirit in me is flexible. your spirit in me is flexible. Okay, now take a look at your own being and say that. Your spirit in me is flexible. And that's how we can hear more easily and quickly. But if we have our plan, and our plan is going to remain fairly inflexible, the execution of that plan, then our Holy Spirit inside can be grieved and he can be quenched. We don't want that. Ina knows that in India, to the point where I don't know. She's grown incredibly in the last 3.5-4 years. And through this very difficult time, she has been prodded, if you will, from the Spirit. Pushed, we can use that word, pushed by the Spirit to completely say, you can't do anything without me. You can have your plans, you can have your thoughts, and guess what? That's not going to happen. But at the same time, she's called to pray and stand and fast. Whew. And encourage herself and receive the encouragement from us to stand and remain strong and listen. Some of you don't know this. The reason I brought up that they didn't have children that lived right away, okay? And then she got pregnant with Basha, is because when she was a couple months pregnant, this is when the incarceration, this is when the attack came, and they put her in jail too. But by Indian law, God likes to use those things for us. By Indian law, they had to release her because she was pregnant. Crazy, huh? Can't preach the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of the kingdom in freedom. Mm-mm. But if you're pregnant, because we value life somehow, you get to go free. Come on. We'll take your passport. But you don't get locked up. Go home. Yes. Oh, I'm pregnant with Basha. Now, Basha hasn't seen her daddy more than a couple times, and you know the supernatural breakthrough there. But she's seen him a couple times. Do you think that God's leaving her alone? Do you think that he's saying, you know, you're going to have issues because he's not with you? I just don't think so. I think our God is bigger than that. And Pastor Jacob in prison has been able to live in flexibility because he hasn't had a choice, but he has. He could become miserable. He could stay miserable or depressed or whatever and just not have that get up and stand for Jesus no matter what. He could, and he would be snuffed out. Okay? And maybe, who knows, maybe the enemy would have even helped him get free. Our times are in God's hands. But what Pastor Jacob is learning, way beyond what most of us could say we've experienced, probably everybody in here, right, is that we really do live, let me say it a different way, we are called to live with eternity in mind, an eternal perspective. And if we hear something that's a little like, that's India, that's not here, or we feel something on the inside, we need to say, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to tell me? Wait, speak to me. More than, well, that's them over there and I'm over here. That's just too much for me. I'm in process. If we're here and we're hearing this message, it's for us. Yeah. Receive when the Holy Spirit is speaking. It's not the person. It's the message, what he's trying to say. So while we applaud and say, go, Pastor Jacob, go, the Lord wants us to relate to him somehow. But I believe the best place to relate to him is going to be in prayer and fasting, because we're going to have the compassion of the Lord in prayer and fasting. We're going to have his heart. We're going to be able to say, I'm sorry, sweetheart. Your world will not fall apart even though you're crying, because I know my God, you'll be all right. So, mommy, daddy, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, cousin, friend, single, I'm about the Father's business. Oh my goodness, there's so much freedom in that. And the Lord is saying, I'm releasing you into a new place in the Spirit to hear those things. And then the resistance will start to wane, because God designed it that way. He just did. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good word. Oh my. I also think that in the process that we're in right now, which is an ongoing process, hello, we're in a process every day of our life. What do I do now? When we get out of here, I've got all these kids and things to do, and I've got all these places to go, but Lord, what are you saying to me right now? He says, if you will receive what I'm releasing and say to me, yes, that is for me, change me in that place, I will do it and call you to walk out something that may be so different that you won't even believe it. You may find yourself going up to someone and saying, I'm sorry, I don't even know why. Or I do know why. Because God will reveal resistance on the inside of us to be able to go to the next place. He doesn't want resistance inside. That's our soul. He wants it gone. That's a simple word too. Oh, Holy Spirit. Well, I was, and I am going to go through a little bit of this. I had a one-page note that I wrote myself 1 year ago, and I've mentioned a few pieces from it over the last year, but it just keeps surfacing. I don't know, I clean off my desk sometimes, and this thing pops out, or it's in a notebook or something, and it's like, this should, how come it's still there? And it is. And so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I had a few, I was laughing when I was reading this because it just makes so much sense. But this was given a year ago, and you can figure out where it came from. You've heard it, some of it, some of you. But it's going to take us to a deeper place right now. We are called, let me read the first sentence. We need to be a container of the word, and we are called to eat the word of God. I don't know if you know who said that. We are called to be a container of the word, and we are called to eat the word of God. Meaning when the Lord is revealing the word of God to us, okay, as I believe that he is doing today verbally, and also his written word, I believe that the word that Cynthia gave us up here about Eliana was the word of God speaking as she prayed out, not just testifying, but as she prayed out what he wanted to release over us and our little ones today. We are called to be a container and go, yes, I receive that, yes, no matter what it looks like. That's who Ina is becoming more and more and more in India, okay? She's becoming a stronger, a more resilient container of the word of the Lord because she's eating what is being given to her. She doesn't look at it and say, yeah, that's true, it's nice. Asparagus is good for you. It's true. It's green and it's good. But if I don't eat it, it doesn't do anything for me. I can look at it and go, I'm in process. Someday I'll think about that. That's a good point. Thank you. I like the color. It's awesome. How did he even grow that? It's so weird looking. Maybe I can cut up in my salad. You know, we can reason away or reason towards doing something. But if we get stuck in the reasoning, we don't eat what we're given. And so this was a place and a time that someone was reminding us. And when you know who this person is, you can let me know. But you can think about it. But there are three points that I wrote down. And and these are the three points I wanted to highlight. When we are in confusion, or when we are limiting God, or when we will not let the power of God be upon us. And let me say those again. There's three. So I'd really like you to consider those, whether you want to eat the release of that over yourself. I'll give you some, we'll get into the scripture in a minute. But I want you to think about this, okay? No matter where we are, no matter what process we're in, no matter what we're trying to do, no matter how our marriages are, no matter how our singleness is, no matter what's going on with our health, no matter what's happening with our progress as a daughter of the king, no matter our circumstances, okay? I'm talking to us about being expanders of, and being a container of the word of God and eating what he's saying. And the areas, these three areas, again, I want to say so that you can ingest them if you would like, would be confusion, when we are in confusion, or if we are moving towards confusion, if we have been in confusion, when we are limiting God, when we have limited God, when we are moving towards limiting God more, or when we have lost the power that has been upon us, where we have ignored the power that has been upon us, whether we have forgotten the power that has been upon us, whether we have resisted the power that has been upon us, whether we have refused the power that has been upon us, or whether we've been ignorant that there is power to be upon us. Any or all of those three areas, okay? Confusion, limitation, power, aspects of the three. All of those areas within the realm of the Spirit are meant by God to be addressed. So he is speaking. He is speaking. He is speaking. And he's saying, are we listening? Are we hearing? Are we listening? Are we hearing? Now, from this front, for years, probably as long as we've ever been pastors and leaders before, we speak much about faith and much about the opposite of faith and what those two areas of spiritual existence really can look like. But I know, beyond anything else in my life, that Jesus lived a life of perfect faith, real faith. He understood faith. He released faith. He was and is, will always be, faith personified. He helps us receive and understand faith. And he also does all of that to help us understand, see, and believe what is not faith. Okay? The Christian life comes down to that. Even if we say, above all else, I just want to feel the love of God. We can feel the love of God walking out and looking at the tree and not be walking in faith for many things in our life. Because he exists. He is everything. If Jesus is in everything, this is not a New Age everything. If Jesus is all about and is the creator of all things, and all things are from him, by him, for him, and through him, then that means that faith is everywhere and goodness of God is everywhere. So I can be walking arm in arm with a fellow believer and be standing underneath a tree and go, oh, this is amazing. I can just feel the power and presence of God. And so can that person, but that does not mean that faith is released or faith is executed or faith is moving. Faith is a person. Faith is a person. Faith is a person. I can be in my house, someone can walk into my house, and I can feel an edge. The first thing I ask is, Lord, is that edge in me? Because if it is, I don't want that. But if edge is not in me, and the faith, which is the love of the Lord released fully, the true faith of God and in God is released, then I need your kingdom heart and way to navigate against the resistance in the spirit while I love people. That is not easy sometimes. You tracking with me? There's resistance to faith, and it's big because faith, real biblical, strong, powerful faith, moves mountains, releases people, takes steps forward, brings healing to a little Eliana at school. It's like, whoa, I need to understand this. Because when I realize that this person right here is a container for the word of the Lord himself, and faith personified, I'm a container, then I must declare war. on anything that would bring confusion to the outpouring of that, of true faith. I must declare war on anything that could, that would be seen in heaven as resistance to that. I must declare war on anything that would be seen in heaven as a limitation of the power of God, always released through and by faith. It's like, whoa, that's kind of deep. Simple, deep truth. None of that's on this paper, except what I said about we are called to eat the word of God. We are a container. We are not just a container of his word. Okay, not just a container where we contain it, but an activator. We are activating that. So container is this, I'm sure it's just hot water in here. The Pastor Bill has his hot water in here, and or whatever. This is a container. This does nothing for Pastor Bill unless he's drinking out of this. So if I just say I'm a container of the word, I know 10,000 verses, and I can quote them, or 20,000 or 50,000. You can keep, you know, say, oh, well, there's not that many. Oh, yeah. That's not the point. The point is if I look at myself as just a container, then I have a problem. If I see myself as an interactive house, a house contains people, but I'm an interactive home, I'm more than a container. So if I call myself just a container alone, I'll have an empty life. So I'm not just a container, but I do contain the fullness of faith on the inside. Okay? You may think, well, what's now what I do with that? Give me something practical. This is very practical. This is very spiritual. This is very Jesus, because we have to be able to ask him, am I eating everything that you're giving me? Am I drinking everything you're giving me? Because I'm telling you, some of us have been doing kingdom life for a very long time, and the Lord's saying, this is time for a great launch, but if you're not hearing what I'm saying, and sometimes it's actually me standing here holding this so that some will have to listen to me, look at me, see the messenger, and see what is being received. Because if we're not receiving what is being released, we're not progressing. We think we are, maybe in the area that we do really well in, or this area we do really well in, but we may not be progressing in the fullness. And we can. That's what's so cool. We can. We can do this. When the power and the presence is moving, and when we are deciding, I won't limit God. Darlene had to make a decision today. I won't limit the Lord. I'm going to step out, and I'm going to lean into what I'm hearing you say. Do you think she had this whole thing planned out from beginning to end? She chose some songs. But she leaned into the Holy Spirit, and it affected the power and the presence being released in faith to for the purpose of ministering to the Lord and raising up others together. It's not just us saying, God, I just love you. And I'm not minimizing that. We need to minister to the Lord. But the impact around our life right at this moment is meant to do something. The impact around us is meant to do something. What happened this morning, there was an impact here for the little ones and the older ones. But it's meant to do something. It's not just meant to go home and go, that was really cool. Man, we need to do that again. Ha! No! The Lord's saying, take it to the next step. Jump into the next place and recognize where we might feel stuck. And listen to the kingdom ways, the kingdom ways, the kingdom ways, the kingdom ways to get unstuck. The kingdom ways. Not just what feels good, not just what sounds good. The kingdom ways, and they're higher than our ways. Wow. So what are the three areas again to help us? If we just think of ourselves as a container of the word, we can be led into confusion if I'm just thinking, the word's in me, the word's in me, the word's in me. More than that, it can help us or lean us towards limiting God. There are three things. And won't let the power fully be working on us and in us in the way that the power of God can. I don't want to see myself as just a container. I'm just a container. No, we are an interactive spirit with the living God who is connected with our Father in heaven, and will have encounter and realization and encouragement through the Word of God coming to us directly from the Scripture, from a voice, from a dream, from a vision. What Carl said, he didn't know I was going to call on him at all, but he stepped into who he is, and he gave something out in the Spirit over the kids. I don't know how they received it. It doesn't matter. Because the Lord does, because the Lord gave him something, and he gave Darlene something. She didn't make it up. Same for Sin and Lawrence. Okay? But the Lord says, I want to do what I want to do. Track with me. Let's go together. Let's go beyond where we've been. Let's come together and see what the next step is. And be willing to say, count me in. Count me in. My time, my money, my comfort, I'm going to take those right here, and I'm putting them right here. And I'm going to say, my time is your time. My money is your money. My comfort is your comfort, God. Whatever you want and say. And that may take me into places that might feel scary, but do you know, as we take a walk like this, do you know the scariness falls off? You have to walk. You have to take the step. You have to do it. Doing something that just is comfortable for you is not going to remove fear. Fear is a power. Fear is a presence. Fear is a spirit. Okay? I'm not just talking about emotion. Somebody throws a spider at me and I go, oh, because I'm startled. But fear of that thing is not fear, true fear, that's not the Lord. I can be startled, but fear of embracing anything dealing with that critter that God made, that needs to go. How do we go? We take steps. We take steps. We take steps, and we listen to the ones around us to help us get free of some of those things. Okay, that was just really good. The life we believe is faith. Faith, faith, faith. Everything is faith. I talked to a friend who's close to my age, maybe just the exact age, I don't know, who's stepping into getting some freedom for emotional problems of years and years and years, and has been so embraced by people that could hug and cry and talk and help the person move into areas of feeling whole, but not necessarily involving Jesus Christ in the process. That's scary to me. Because Jesus is our only hope for this nation, for our healing ultimately. The Spirit of the living God will bring the transformation and bring the breakthrough. The Spirit of the living God falls afresh on us. The power, there's power in the anointing. The anointing of God, the Spirit of God, breaks the yoke that keeps us from the breakthrough. Yeah. So let's turn in our Bibles to Mark, if you would, please. Mark chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. And I think next time we'll get into chapter 5. This is really good. I don't want to block what the Lord is doing. Do you? Would there be anybody in here who would consciously say, I want to block what God's plan is. No. Everyone wants to flow with God's plan. But it's going to take a removal of resistance because we're humans. Period. And it can happen now. And some of us have gone and said, that's really nice, but we've not necessarily eaten the Word of God. And we need to believe that everything that we really believe, will come to pass in the way that God has. He's way above our ways. But he's very, very sure of developing deep faith in us. Deep, deep faith. Oh, and that's what I want. If you cry out for that, which we're going to do in just a minute, a couple of minutes here, that is going to be, a place of danger. It's a dangerous place. I love danger. Do you love danger? And cry out for this kind of faith. I want that faith that moves mountains, God. I want faith beyond what I understand faith to be. I'm willing, Lord, to jump into that place where faith is released. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm going to actually start at the end of the Gerasene Demoniac, and this, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but I ask you to read that. It's chapter 5, where Jesus came upon, he was in a boat, and he came upon a man from the tombs, verse 2, who had an unclean spirit, and he had been dwelling in the tombs, verse 3, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain. So I'm going to just glance through some of this. And he had been bound with shackles and chains. Now, we see visuals of that in all the videos of Jesus that we watch, and we read this and go, that must have been really horrible when it was. But many can be bound in shackles and chains that we can't see. And maybe we'll see it in the spirit as we're praying for someone or praying for a circumstance. And we want the freedom to be able to go to our brothers and sisters and loved ones and say, help. Can I help? I should say, how can I help? How can I assist? But if there's resistance in the spirit, then we're not going to be able to be used in fullness. So we have to ask God for his ways. He's very, very wise. No one was strong enough, verse 4, to subdue him because there was physical strength that came up. But look at verse 5. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and the mountains and gnashing himself or hitting himself with stones. Now, verse 6 in chapter 5, seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and he bowed down before him. And he shouted with a loud voice, and he said, what business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you, do not torment me. And then Jesus spoke and commanded an unclean spirit to come out and said, what's your name? Jesus knew. But he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And 10 says, he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. And there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby, and the demons said, hey, send us into the swine. They begged him, they implored him, and Jesus gave permission. Can we enter those? Jesus said, sure. He didn't speak sure, but he gave permission. Verse 13, coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the bank into the sea. And 2,000 drowned in the sea. Now listen to the verse 14, which is where I want to go. The herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that happened. Look, notice what they did. What are we going to do with the testimony that we heard from Cynthia about Eliana? What are we going to say to others about this amazing outpouring, really, of the Spirit of God this morning that encouraged and drew in the little children? What are we going to say to ourselves as parents about how we are going to, Lord, participate in what you're doing, and rather than saying it's just for little kids, that we're going to see ourselves as the ultimate little kids, and we are going to be the ones that will be so filled with peace and power along with the worship team that we're helping these little ones engage, and we're leading the way. Could that be what God would speak to us? I think so. But you have to decide that. I think so. I think he's saying, let the little children come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, but let it begin with you. I really believe that. Wow. that there will be a time, maybe it'll be next Tuesday, maybe it'll be Sunday, where the first ones up in the front will be the parents. And the children will gravitate and do what the parents do. Rather than staying back, letting the children just stay close, show them the freedom that you really have. Let them see that freedom. Demonstrate that. Not so you're like PMP. You're not like Pastor Bill. You're who you are in full freedom in the Holy Ghost. What would the children do if that is moving? That is not spirit. I mean, that outpouring is upon us. I believe God has that for us. And I believe that's in this season right now. So think about that. Maybe that will be part of the receiving today. Lord, I'm changing because I'm stepping out. Even though my foot's not moving, my body is moving towards whatever. And I'm going to worship you. And my children are going to see a new me. My grandchildren will see a new me. My friends will see a new me. The little ones will see a new me. I don't have to entertain them. I will be worshiping. And they will receive from me. And you. I think this place would explode, personally. And that's where we're going, and that's what's happening. So, hallelujah. So these people ran away and reported in the city what happened to see what had happened. But verse 15, they came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed in his right mind, and the very man who had the legion, and they became frightened. Verse 16, those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man, all about the swine. 17, and they began to implore Jesus to get out of town, leave their region. Come on. Why? Because the resistance in them said, nuh-uh, you go there and you're going to get free. They didn't know that. Don't know. If you go there, you're going to be freed. If you'll step out with your children, you're going to be freed. If you'll take the step for whatever it is, you will be freed. You will receive fear, a release from the fear or anything that holds us back from any of the expressions of the kingdom. And what's really interesting is that... Oh my gosh, that the swine, when they received the transference of the negative spirit, okay, and the man who's now free, they kind of went crazy. They were in confusion. They didn't have the power of God on them. They didn't know how to not limit God, okay, as pigs. But they were pigs. They were pig-like. And this confusion, it threw them right off the cliff, because that's what the demons wanted to do. It's such a picture for us in any way that slows us down. Think about that. Think about that right now. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's a big visual, isn't it? And then anybody who saw that, heard about that, they started freaking out, going, you weirdo, get out of Dodge. Because you're threatening my security, what makes me feel comfortable, okay? That's what you're threatening that, and I don't like it because it feels uncomfortable. That's the point where we step out and go, I feel uncomfortable. I'm taking the step. Your glory's upon me. When you're glorified, when the glory of God is on you, it's amazing what God will do. You could lose your job. You could be sent to jail. There could be all kinds of things, but the glory of God will be on you. I was released from a job years and years ago in a full-time Bible position. Not because I had done anything wrong, but there was something that happened in this place. And there was an exchange of the power of God because of fear coming upon a place, two people. And the resistance in that place was really heavy. Jesus did the right things. Jesus followed the rules, didn't he? Unless it went against the Father. And one day when I stood before the very people who had the power to stand up and do something different, the glory of God came on me that my face was shining. Pastor Bill was with me. And I was standing in front of an inquisition of people that had been my friends and compadres, and they each one were given an opportunity to hear the voice of the Lord when they stood in front of me, because they didn't want to see what happened to me happen in their secret place, but they were too afraid. So when I stood there, and my face was shining, and the glory of God was on me at that moment, I had no fear. And I spoke just a short word that the Lord gave me when he woke me up in the middle of the night before. I sat up in bed. I was in a sound sleep, and I sat up in bed, and I heard the words, and the words were, "Isn't there one among you who will stand for me? Isn't there one among you who will stand for the truth?" I heard the words. I was completely stunned because I knew it was God, and I laid back down and I went to sleep. So the next day when I stood in front of this group with nothing that could be said that there was any wrong that had been done, there was no wrong that had been done, then they said, "Do you have anything to say?" All heads were down like this, 11 or 12 people, because they couldn't even look at me, because I was free. Oh my. And I said, "Yes, there is one thing that I have to say," with the glory glowing on me. And I said, "Isn't there one among you who will stand for me? Isn't there one among you who will stand for the truth?" And do you know what God did at that time to those 11, 12 men? As I'm standing there, one at a time, in order, I had nothing to do with this, one at a time, okay, starting on this side, they were sitting, looked up like this. God lifted their head, and they looked right into my eyes. One at a time. One, two, three. It was a supernatural moment that the Lord gave every single one an opportunity to stand for the Lord, to stand for truth. And not one at that time would do that. Had one stood, I don't know. There's a whole, realm of things that go along with that. I don't know. I wasn't responsible for that. But I know my face was glowing, as my husband can attest. And I know I was peaceful. And I know I had a word. And that's all I said. Nothing else. But I said, "Hello, friends. Thank you for the opportunities of working with you all these years and loving your kids." Because I did. I don't know what God did with that. It doesn't matter, because my life is in his hands. Your life is in his hands. Okay? Your children, grandchildren, friends, spouses, they are in his hands. But the Lord is saying, will you take a step way beyond where you are? And out of that mess, it felt like a mess in many ways, but not a, it was difficult, let's put it that way. Frontline was birthed many years ago. Never knew about Frontline, but Frontline was birthed. So let's wrap it up here, because I think God wants to. I think we'll save chapter 6 for later. I think this is where he wanted to go. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 18, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him, and he did not let him, but he said, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord had done for you and how he had mercy on you." And he went away to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done, and everyone was amazed. So I believe today, you have been involved in a great release this morning. You have seen the Lord's hand move today. But along with that, you have a history with the Lord. You have a history with the Lord. You have a history with the Lord. Oh, and we must proclaim that history, or we will enter into the confusion. We will limit God. Okay? Confusion will come upon us. We will not be able to walk in the fullness of this power that wants to be released through us, come upon us. We may have even experienced that to one degree, and it's not been able to continue to increase. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Father, you continuously surprise and amaze us. We thank you for this word that you're unpacking in our midst in the Gospels, Lord, the Gospel this morning. And we thank you for the container word that you gave us through someone who's been here before. And we thank you, Lord, that we are living, active vessels with you, and you are speaking and ready to change right where we are, right now. And Lord, today is a new day for us. And I believe, Lord God, that as our ears are attending to what you're saying and doing right now, that we have the ability to actually chew up and ingest everything that has been released today and say, yes, Lord, I'm only going forward, and I will come out of and refuse any confusion. I will not limit where I have limited you, if I have, any longer. And I desire for you to come upon me and remain upon me, that you would shake me on the inside with the truth of the moment. Not just what our emotions say, not just what our feelings are saying to us, not just what our mind consistently rehearses over and over and over. That when you say in your word, Lord, in Mark 12, 30 and 31, you shall love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that this is the crux of the gospel of you, Lord Jesus Christ. That when we say those words to ourselves, Lord, over ourselves, and we eat them, and what you've taught us today about the pigs and the Gerasene demoniac and the response that we can have to all truth coming into our vessels here, we believe that we're changing right now. You're lifting the veil. You're opening our eyes. No matter what's happened to us, no matter what our past has been, Lord, that we will receive the fullness of the power and the grace and the freedom today that you have for us without hesitation, without limitation, without resistance. Lord, we see you coming with your mighty hand upon us this morning and saying, stretch yours up, put your hand in my hand. My hand is right there. Put your hand in my hand, and I will lift you right up out of the resistance. I will lift the real you up, 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 out of the resistance, out of the resistance. I will bring the healing to your mind, to your emotions, to your will. I will bring the freedom and deliverance in greater ways. You will be able to step into more and more today, wholeheartedly, as I am your Papa, as I am your Jesus, as I am the lover of your soul. Thank you, Jesus. You're not scary, Lord. You are freedom. You are freedom. You are freedom. Let there be a great exchange right now. As I said to someone recently, let this be for those who are listening with ears that can hear today what the Spirit is saying to this church and to the church. Today is a day of a new transaction being completed in heaven and received inside. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your word is powerful. Your presence is powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Where you have made an inner vow of I will not, I don't want, it's not going to happen, offer to the Lord that you are stepping out of that vow, because that vow has been a ceiling for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your power. You are so good. And Lord, wholeheartedly, we lift up this hearing tomorrow in India. We lift this up. Lord, we don't understand much, but we do see that you have moved everything for 3.5 years to this point. And Father, we are choosing to apply the faith of you, in you, for you, to this situation. And we call that mountain to move and to be cast into the sea, because your word says we shall have those things that we say, and they shall come to pass, because we're in agreement with heaven and not our own opinion. Thank you, Lord. We call that out. We call that out. We call out your scriptural mandates from heaven. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.